We're going to open this message with our scripture, and then I'm going to pray over the message. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1.
You said that was 6 to 8. 6
to 12. Come on over here, Ruthie. Read this, I'll take care of it. All right. Galatians 1, 6 to 12.
Okay, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask you now, Lord, that you would just touch this message, Lord. Lord, we ask if you would touch this message tonight. Bless it, Lord. Because, Lord, your word says that we have to watch out when there's these other gospels. And another gospel is simply, Lord, as you well had tried to show us, any gospel, anything that is added to the cross. So, Lord, would you just help us? Help us to see that it's only you that needs to be worshipped and only you that can save. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. It says, Galatians chapter 1, as you notice, it starts out with, it says, beware that there's another gospel out there. It's actually not another gospel, it's just a cult, is what Paul was trying to say. Tonight, I want to talk about another gospel. This is not a gospel that you would assume would be in a JW church. You might find it, you'd think, okay, when he's talking about another gospel, he must be taught about Mormonism, JWism, and so, no. Danny, I want to talk about a gospel that the average church that says they have Christ is preaching right now. I would like to speak tonight and preach tonight on the church membership gospel.
Yes.
The church membership gospel. Now, what is the church membership gospel? Well, I'm going to first explain it to you, then we're going to look at some scriptures. Just a few. All right. It's the gospel that says you have to have a membership and have your name on the name and roll and a docket of some church in some church office that says, I belong to this group of people. And if you don't have your name on that church roll, you're treated like you never were saved. And if you do have your name on that church roll, then you're also treated like garbage if you leave that church to go to another church. You're treated like you've gone to hell. In the simplest terms, your membership in that church is your salvation. You're not treated like you are saved even though you go to church elsewhere. You could go to church every day of the week, but if you don't have your name on a certain church's roll in that particular church, they think you're going to hell. Example, if I don't have my name on the church roll at the First Baptist Church of Ashtabula, they think I ain't no good and I'm going to hell. But yet I'm going to church at another Baptist church and believe the same exact way they do, but yet I'm going to hell because I'm not going to that church. If I'm not going to People's Baptist, the people at People's Baptist think I'm going to hell. The people at Union Baptist think I'm going to hell because I'm not going to their church. Excuse me, but my salvation don't lie in the fact that I have my name on the roll of a church. And by the end of tonight, you're going to see that nowhere, not one place in the Scripture that is listed, that has ever talked about God's house or the church, nowhere do you find them taking down the names of people and saying, this is the church. And in fact, most preachers have to get up and say, well, this building is not the church. The reason you got to say that, you reprobate, is because you've been teaching this gospel. You've been teaching that salvation is in the fact whether somebody's got their name on the roll. Now, excuse me. Just because Danny doesn't show up here in person, and just because Danny doesn't have a slip of paper that says that Danny Miller belongs to his church, doesn't mean he's saved or lost. He could have his name over there in at the church that's in Pennsylvania, but still he's a brother of mine because he is saved. Jesus said, you are not, he said, who is my mother and my brother and my sister? He said, they that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's how you're Jesus' brother. So there's this gospel. It's called the church membership gospel that's out there. And we're not talking about the JWs or something tonight. We're talking about so-called churches that so-called got Jesus in their heart that's been preaching the truth. And a lot of them that even speak in tongues, they have this same gospel. And if your church teaches that just because you don't have a membership, you're no good, excuse me, that they're teaching that gospel. I don't find church membership dying on a cross, excuse me. Membership did not die for me on the cross of Calvary, it was Jesus. Anything short of the blood of Jesus is another gospel. So, and I think we need to preach on this, because you don't hear no preachers preaching on this, because why? They're trying to get notches on their gun and trying to tell you what to do. Hello? Wait a minute. I don't tell you what to do. I just tell you what the book says. And if you don't want to follow Christ, that's up between you and him. But excuse me, at least I'll tell you what the book says. All right. Now. Okay, Danny, I want you to take us to Isaiah chapter 2 and 3. Isaiah 2 and 3. And Ruth will go to Psalm 122:1. Danny, Isaiah 2 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Ruth will take Psalms 122 and verse 1. When you got it, Danny, go ahead.
Okay, well, that's Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, Danny.
Okay, now, chapter 2, verse 3. Okay. And many people shall go and say, amen, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Okay, Ruthie?
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Okay, so far we found two verses that say, let us go to the house of the Lord. And one of them, in fact, says, let us be glad. Let's be glad when they say, hey, let's go. But you know why nobody's glad about going to church? Because I'm going to hit on that too, Ruthie. They got to pay to go to church. You got to pay your church bill. Plus, on top of that, I'm going to hit on another topic by the end of the night too. Okay? But there's reasons why people don't go to church. And they're not happy about it. Danny, we want you to go to Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Okay, and then we're going to have Ruthie go to Matthew chapter 21, 12 and 13. But Danny, you're going to Micah 4 and 2. And Ruth will go to Matthew 21, 12, and 13, right?
Okay. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
We need to stop and park just for an hour here. And, don't you look at your watch, sweetheart, or we'd be here 10 hours. Amen. Amen. And if you all say amen, it'll be 20 hours. Go ahead. Don't say amen, Danny. I'll add 15 minutes to the message.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, if you can't shout for Jesus, you got something wrong with you.
Come on.
Hey, get your shouter fixed tonight. Now, think about this. All of the verses in the Old Testament said, let us go to the house of the Lord. We're going to be glad when they say, let's go to the house of the Lord. But you know why they don't now? Take a look at what it said in Matthew. Did you see the change of direction all of a sudden it took? What was the direction it took when it was in before Matthew, it was everybody saying, let's go. But now all of a sudden, Jesus had to say, get out of here, boys. My house shall be called a house of prayer.
Yes, yes.
But what, churches? You have made it a den of thieves. Don't think that Jesus, just when he ran out the money changers, it was done and over with. Excuse me, churches, you're doing the same thing right now.
Hey, you're acting even, churches.
Ruth, I told you I was going to hit on that. I was just sneaking up on it. And you're trying to sneak it out of the bag before I was going to. Excuse me, but the fact is, hello, when people have to pay to go to church, then you wonder why people ain't showing up. You all like this, churches. You all like this, preachers. Excuse me, the Bible says a person's supposed to tithe off their increase. Huh? Huh? Well, preacher, you can't prove that. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, bub. Go look in there. It's right there. Not to mention, not only are you supposed to do it off the increase, but secondly, you're supposed to eat your own tithe. Hello, churches. We got a problem with that. The way you teach tithing, isn't what the Bible teaches. A person is supposed to go out there increase. Now, if a person has got the same amount of money this year as they did last year, they haven't gotten any increase. If they're just paying their bills, and that's all the money they got, that means they have no increase. That's what God was talking about, an increase. An increase means over and above what you owe, over and above what you have, over and above your expenses. That's what the increase is. But you're charging people a church bill, and you get all these other things you're charging for. You charge for your cassette tapes of the sermons that you preach, preachers, and you charge what? $4 or $5 for a cassette. Excuse me, the Word of God is not for sale. And nobody that has been getting our tapes will honestly look me in the eye and say, well, you charged me for those tapes. I say, excuse me, where's the receipt? Huh? Where's your receipt saying I showed you that I charged? No, I have made mention that, as you can hear in the background, if you turn up your, if you play your thing very low, you probably won't notice the buzz on your tapes. But if you go over there, people, and you turn up your volume as loud as you go, you'll hear a buzz in the background of this tape. You know why? We got microphones, wires that are starting to go. There's patch cord wires that are going. And guess what? Yeah, I may ask for things that we need. I tell you where to go. It's called Radio Shack, but you don't have to bring me no money. Just buy me the stuff we need. You want to know? Ask me. I'll give you a list. But I won't ask a person for a single penny. Why? Because that ain't God's way. You're not supposed to ask people for money that ain't got it. And on top of that, the Bible says they're only supposed to give from the increase, not while they're sitting there suffering and starving. And I ain't going to hit it just yet, but I'm waiting because there's a verse coming up here that I want to hit that really, really is going to make you preachers mad. Okay? Ruthie, what's the next verse? Okay, I'm going to give that to you. So Mark 11, we're going to let Ruthie read. We're going to let Ruth read Mark 11, 15 through 18. What's the one after? And we'll let him do it. And then, Danny, you're going to do Luke 19, Luke chapter 19, verses 45 and 46. But first we're going to have Ruthie read Mark 11, what was it? 15 to 18, and Danny is still Luke 19, 45, 46. Okay, so Ruthie, first you read yours.
And they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because the people were astonished at his doctrine.
All right, Danny?
He went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
Now, the next set of verses, I want to really point out something. Each of these has all testified to the fact that Jesus went into the temple and he drove out the money changers. A lot of us get this image of Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth movie is wrong on this point, Ruth, okay? I'm going to point it out to you. In that movie that everybody has seen around Resurrection Sunday time, most people call it Easter, but same deal. But technically it's resurrection. They show Jesus, you remember in the movie, he's got this big old piece of stick and he's out there busting up stuff? Up the money changer's table? Ain't the way it was. Ain't the way it is. Our next scripture is going to bear that out, Danny, now mind you. First off, we already saw the Pharisees and Sadducees got mad and wanted to destroy Jesus because he hurt their money pockets. Okay? But now, guess what really irks it? Let's see. Okay, our next scripture.
John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16.
Okay, John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. John 2, 13 to 17, we'll have Ruth read that one. And I want you to see something here. And then I'll get our next scripture in a minute here. But first, Ruthie, I want you to read this. John 2, 13 to 17.
And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.
You see that? Now, in the movie Jesus of Nazareth, they have him with a stick. It says he made himself a scourge. That's exactly what it was like, a cat of nine tails. He made himself, Danny, he made himself a cat of nine tails. Right? Now,
oh my.
Remember, he was the one who got whipped just before he got crucified. He got whipped with a cat of nine tails then. But he got his cat of nine tails out first. And he, now mind you, Danny, most preachers don't, and most people don't see it this way, but now you know how vicious a cat of nine tails can be. He got, picture Jesus making himself a cat of nine tails, walking in there and, whoosh, whoosh, get out of here, whoosh. Yeah, you mules, get out of here. Oh, we don't want to see Jesus like that. We don't believe in a Jesus like that. We believe in a Jesus that loves people. But wait a minute, he also doesn't put up with sin. And he knows what his house was supposed to be for. And do you ever notice something, JWs? What did Jesus say? Now, who was that temple built for? The worship of Jehovah. And he said here, make not whose house? My house. Jesus said, his house. He very... And he said, don't make my house a house of merchandise. Hello, preachers. Quit pulling out your offering plates. Quit pulling all that money out and asking people to make money. And hello, you want money changers. It's pretty sad in some churches that they actually make a change in the offering plate. I mean... I've seen it done too, Ruthie. And the thing is, you notice what Jesus did. He didn't go in there with a stick, or he didn't just grab them by the scruff of the neck and throw them out. He made a cat of nine tails. He started whipping people. Picture this. These people coming out of there with bruises and cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. We don't think, we can't picture a Jesus like that, but the Bible says that was what he was. It made him so mad. Hello, you can get mad, Ruthie. Righteous indignation. The Bible says anger, but sin not. And in this case, Jesus, he was angry as homemade snot, and he was mad, but guess what? He was righteous about it because they had taken the house of God and said, and you notice the things they sold? What were they? Oxen, sheep, and doves. What were those things? Those were the things that were used in sacrifice. These were the things that were supposed to be sacrifices. And instead, the people were selling them. You know why? Because the people that were coming were so dad burned lazy, they wouldn't bring their sacrifice with them. They'd just carry money with them. When they got to the temple, then they'd buy their sacrifice. Instead of raising that lamb or that sheep themselves, they wanted the easy way, the microwave type, like these preachers that get out their microwave sermons. They don't want to study the Bible. If they did, they'd know this kind of stuff already. They wouldn't have to have me preach a message like that. They would already know that the membership gospel The church membership gospel is another gospel. They already know that. But since they don't study their Bible and they go on the internet or whatnot and get their sermons off of there and microwave them, hello, around here you don't get no microwave sermons. You ain't going to get no microwave sermon from me, buddy. It's going to be hot cooked right off the press. And then, hey, if it takes all night to roast this sermon, it's going to take all night and you just might as well settle in. And if you don't say amen, we add 15 minutes to the message. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. But the point is, I could see Jesus with that whip. And I he had every right. That was his house. You don't come into my house and do what you want. Hello, Mike Shibley. You don't come in my house and do what you want to do. It's my house. It's my house. You don't come in here and tell me how to run this thing. It's mine. Well, Jesus said that was his house, and he said, I don't want this nonsense here. Get rid of the money. Now, all of a sudden, now I got all the preachers mad at me because I hit their wallet. Well, too bad. Get glad again. Gospel straight from the pit of hell, too. All right? All right. Okay, now the most favorite scripture of all time of all these church membership gospel preachers. Danny, you'll know it already. I don't even have to give you the reference. Hebrews, and what's the rest of it, Danny?
Hebrews 10:25.
Yep, he's got it. And if you'd open it up for us, please.
Yes. Okay.
The old church gospel, church membership gospel verse. But I'm going to crack on their verse, and they're not going to like me by the end of tonight. Get over it, then.
And for Corona churches,
but I want you to look at this verse close as we read it.
Okay, we're breaking apart.
Yeah, we are, because we're going to go over this verse a couple times here.
Hey. Ask and we can have Dick preacher on the way home.
Hey, man. Hey. If you're going to make a roast, it's going to take time. So if this preacher's going to roast, then you got to give him time to roast.
That's right. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but that's a change of direction, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay. Now it starts off, not forsaking the assembling. 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 Assembling of what? Ourselves together. But, now, who is Jesus through the apostles' pen talking to? Does it say, assemble yourself in your little local church group?
No.
Show me where it says that this is talking about a specific church group or group of church believers in a certain geographical location. Please show it to me. I don't hear nothing. Don't hear nothing. Hello, preachers. I don't hear you now. You don't see it. You can misconstrue this and put all that nonsense in there you want, but that is not what this just said. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Yourselves. It is not in reference to just one local body of believers. In fact, I want you to look at this verse as it continues. It points out who he's talking about. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some is, but, here it comes, exhorting one another. Even the more as you see the day approaching. Who is he talking to? Christians is right. This is not talking to a local group of people on a certain map, part of the map of the United States or wherever. This is talking about I should be assembled in my heart in faith, in prayer, in unity with the at the same time as my brother in Russia is. No, follow what I'm saying, Ruth. I'm not talking about a certain, right on one little mountainside. I'm talking about while the preacher over in Russia is preaching his gospel, I should be unified in the same gospel, in the same spirit to win souls as he is. Why? Because right there it is. Even the more as you see the day approaching, the devil's biggest thing he has done to this world, and especially to the body of Christ, is to pull them apart, because he knows if he pulls apart the body of Christ without unity, they won't do anything for Christ. If he could pull them apart and make them stay in their own little clique, nothing gets accomplished. But if the whole body of Christ would get back to the way it used to be, that the church on the west side of town is in unity with the church on the east side of town, and they both, those churches work together, the people in that town wouldn't have a prayer of being lost. The lost ones wouldn't have a prayer of sticking around town very long. They'd either have to get saved or get out. But the problem is, the east side of town thinks they got the better church than the west side. And they're trying to outdo each other, trying to be better than the Joneses. When in fact, instead of being worried about who you're better than, you ought to be worried about what Jesus thinks of you. What does it say you're supposed to be doing? Oh, Danny, you notice it says, but...
Yes.
But nitpick each other as you see the day approaching. Try to be better than the Joneses as you see the day approaching.
Yes.
Hello. This is talking to the whole body of believers. Why is it that church preachers get up, pound on the pulpits and say, you are the body of Christ. This building is not the church, but you are the church. But why is it they got to say that, but yet they don't think that because I'm in another church that I'm not part of that body? Excuse me, as long as I got Jesus in my heart, which is from now until the till eternity ends, which it won't, but until eternity ends, I am part of that body too, buddy. But see, there's the point. We're talking about prayer too, Ruth, when you talk about two or three are gathered. But the point is the body of Christ. If Danny is saved, it doesn't matter. It says that he is my brother. Now, assembling together, what this is in reference to is Paul, or some believe Paul wrote this, some believe another apostle wrote it, but I believe it was Paul. But the fact is, when the apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he was saying, look, as you see that the rapture is getting nearer and nearer, you should be pulling together, not apart. You should be trying to encourage each other instead of nitpicking and worry about who's got, if that woman's got the right length dress. The dress ain't getting her in. You should be meeting together and trying to encourage each other to live for Jesus instead of trying to figure out the way to shove people out the door. Amen. Yeah, they are. Okay, Acts chapter 2. We'll let Danny read this one. Or Ruth, you get this one. I'm sorry. Acts 2, 40 and 41. Now, I want you to look at this and notice something about the first church. The first church, Acts 2, 40, 41.
Okay, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Now, he exhorts the people with many words. This is Peter preaching. To say, get saved. Get saved, get saved. You notice his message, get saved. And they ask what they had to do, and he tells them, repent, get saved, and then be baptized, and then get yourself a church membership. Get yourself a church membership. No. It says, get saved, baptized, and there were added unto, what's the key word? Them. Does it say the Church of Jerusalem? Danny, do you see Jerusalem? And there was added to the Church at Jerusalem 3,000 souls.
Oh, I didn't.
Does it say it was the church at Corinth where there's added 3,000 souls? It says added unto them. Who is the them? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of, hello, preachers, the body of Christ. Hey, if when that Mormon got saved this week, he's now my brother in the body of Christ, and I can love him and know he's going to heaven just as much as I know Ruth is going to heaven.
Yes, yes.
You don't have to be in Truth Freedom Fellowship Baptist Church to be a part of the body of Christ. You don't need a piece of paper. All you need is Jesus in your heart, and you're on your way, Buzzy. Hello, buddy. You're on your way as soon as you get Jesus. You're in part of the body as soon as you... But, oh, wow, we don't like that foot because that foot stinks, so we're going to get rid of it. You're going to... excuse me, but you can't do that. Just because you don't like somebody, if they got saved, you might as well start loving them because you're going to have to do it for eternity. How do you like that? Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:10-18. Now, I want you to notice something here. This gets interesting. And Danny, since this is a little longer, I'm going to let Ruthie handle this one, okay? Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:1-18. I want you to notice something in this. Oh, yeah, 10-18. 1 Corinthians 1:10-18. Okay.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ shall be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen.
You notice? I'm preaching on the same thing that Paul preached back then. This ain't a new problem. This ain't a new problem. He said Paul had... He got a rumor. He didn't even hear it firsthand. He says, it's been told to me of you, my brethren, of those of the house that are of Chloe, that there's divisions among you. What was the divisions? Well, the division was because one group thought this guy was okay to live in sin and adultery while the other, or they got divided over the color of the hymn book, right? No. No, they had their church split over. The big theological question, did Adam have a belly button? No. You know what the division was? What church they belonged to. Some said, I'm of Paul, this apostle. That's the church I belong to. Another one says, I belong from Apollos. Another one says, I'm of Cephas. But some of them, like me, had the guts to stand up, hey, I'm of Christ! Hello? Paul said it best, boys. Is Christ divided? Or were you baptized in the name of the First Baptist Church? Or did Union Missionary Baptist Church die for you? Did Chapel Geo Ministries shed its blood for you? Did the Church of God in Pembroke shed its blood for you? No! It's only Christ! See, Christ ain't divided. What are we talking about? The body of Christ. Over and over, even the apostle had to hit this nonsense and say, look, Christ's body should not be divided.
Yes, yes.
There was only one Jesus who died on the cross. There's only one Jesus who shed his blood. There's only one Jesus who gave up the Holy Ghost. There was only one Jesus who was buried in the tomb. And there was only one Jesus who rose again the third day to die for your sins and for mine. It wasn't church membership. Hey, excuse me, boys, but there are people that can have memberships in every church in this county and still split hell so wide open, you could back 80 Mack trucks with double-wide trailers side by side in there and still have room. That's how wide they've split hell wide open. But, excuse me, there are people that don't even go to church anywhere that's got more Jesus than the whole town to put together. Hello? It is not church membership. But the Bible does teach. What does it teach? It teaches fellowship. The word forsake not the assembling is in reference to fellowship and unity. If I am not unified with Danny, no matter if he's sitting right next to me, it don't mean a hoot. If I hate his guts, we are not unified. If I hate his guts and don't believe the same gospel and believe in the same Jesus he does, we are not unified. We are not in the same body. But if he believes in Jesus Christ, died for his sins, and I believe Jesus died for mine, I'm in the same body as he is. And guess what? It doesn't matter that I'm half a continent away. Hello. It doesn't mean a hoot. It just means that we're in the body of Christ. Hey, why can't... Y'all better just might as well quit this church membership thing. Aren't you forgetting something? Go read Revelation chapter 21. I don't see anywhere in there that it says, okay, on floor number one, we're going to have the Baptist, the First Baptist Church of such and such over in this corner of heaven, and we're going to have the Second Baptist Church, the Third Baptist Church, the Bible Baptist Church, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where's the signs? Hello? Where's your sign in Revelation chapter 21 that says that certain church is going to be a certain... It says only certain people make it in. Jesus said there's only one way in, and that's it. The only way you're getting in is through Him. Anything else ain't is the wrong key, and it won't... Hey, look, all that church membership is the wrong key. It won't fit the lock. You're trying to come up another way, buddy, and Jesus said you're a thief and a robber. Hey, come on, Ruthie. If every church building in this whole world burnt to the ground, it wouldn't mean a hoot. If people are saved, they're still going to heaven. Hey, you might as well get unified down here and get practice in loving each other because you're going to have to do it up there for eternity. What you going to do when you get up there and you ain't been unified? You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a tough time, man. All right. What's my next scripture? Amen. Let's see. Oh, Paul had to tell him, quit being so divided over that. But let me park a minute more here. Now, picture this. This bug-eyed Jew preacher. I thank God I baptized none of you. But Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say, I baptized what? In my own name. Whose name were you baptized in? If you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're a part of the body of Christ. And of course, if you got baptized, was it real? Did you really have Jesus in there before you got baptized? If you didn't get saved, you just got wet. You went in a dry sinner, came out a wet sinner, you were still a sinner. But if you were really saved when you got in that water, you're part of the body of Christ, and you're a brother with me no matter where you are. And then, you know what I like? Hello. What did he say at the last verse there? He said the preaching of the cross. The preaching of church membership, right? Come and join the church. Come on down here, sit in the chair. Give us your name and address, and we'll put you on the church roll. Uh-uh. Church membership, don't cut it, buddy. You could have all the church memberships you want, and you still go to hell. Amen. And hey, those church memberships are going to burn when this world does. Amen. Okay, Danny, Romans 16 and 5. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Now, let's take a note of something here. This is going to get interesting. And the verse after that, Ruth, is what? You go there. You go to 1 Corinthians 16, 19, Ruth. But while we have Danny over at Romans 16, what was it? 5. You there, Danny?
Okay. Likewise, greet the church that is their house. Salute my well-loved Epimaeus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ.
Now, you notice here he says, greet the church that's at thy house. Now, the building was the house. What was the church that was at that house? A body of believers. The church has always been the people who are saved. It is not membership. Amen. Ruthie, you got yours? 1 Corinthians 16, 19.
The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house.
Aquila and Priscilla. They were pastoring. That was a pastor and his wife that had a church in their house. The church being a local body of believers. I'm putting this over and over again to see a lot of people in the Old Testament talked about the house of God. And we try in the New Testament days, today, you hear everybody talk about, well, you got to come to the house of God. You got to come to the church. Wait a minute. The church is not the house of God. I'm trying to point this out to you. There's a big difference between the house and the church. The house is a building. If you go look through all the references to house in the Old Testament, you find out not only was it in reference to a specific building, but it was also in reference to a group of people in a household. So, say, Ruth, that I owned 10 houses around the block here and it was all filled with my family. Still my house. Because it's all my grandkids and kids and grandkids that are in the house, but that would be my house, according to the Bible. That was my house, even though there's several buildings. Well, when Christ talks about his body and his house, he's talking about the whole body of believers. Hello, and you notice it says the church, that means group of people, part of the body of Christ, that is at such and such location. That's a local body of believers, but they're still the church. The people are the church. The building is a building. All right. Now, what's our name? Danny, Colossians, chapter 4 and 15. While Ruth, you'll get... And Ruth, you'll go to Philemon, verse 2, while Danny goes back to, what was it, Colossians 4 and 15, Danny. When you got it, go ahead. Colossians 4, 15.
Last chapter, it says, to meet the brethren, which are in Laodicea and Memphis, and in the church, which is in his house.
And to our beloved Aphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house.
Again, we find some other people, other preachers. These are the churches of Asia, the different churches, and they were all in different people's houses because they were small at that point. And these were the preachers and pastors that were pastoring those churches, but those churches were bodies of believers. But the buildings were just the house. It was just a building. They didn't call that, well, this is the house of God. The only reason you say that now is because you got it set aside for your big group of people, but really the church is the people in it. The building ain't nothing but a building. Amen. Ooh-wee. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I think Danny knows right where I'm headed. James chapter 2, 1 to 10. We'll have Ruthie read this one. James 2, 1 to 10.
Okay. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, excuse me, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit there here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called, to fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, that thou shalt love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Whee! Hello, churches. I say you're guilty. Your church membership means so much to you that a poor person can't have one. It's like you got your little, come on. Don't you know that memberships are only for golf course clubs and yacht clubs? Hello? That's when you need a membership. Hello? Memberships are for car insurance companies. Okay?
Fire companies.
Fire company, that kind of, that's where you need a membership. Hello? Membership means you got a club. You don't got a church. You got a club. Huh? Let me say that again. You ain't got a church. You got a clique. You got yourself a club. You got a little clubhouse is what you got. That's membership. Huh? Check it out. You don't believe me? Go check it out. Membership is when you got a clubhouse. Probably the reason you got a clubhouse is you're a bunch of little kids and can't get over to get grown up yet. Someone comes in there rich and you treat them like the best thing since sliced bread and they could be an adulterous demon. And you won't care. Someone poor walks in, you treat them like crap. What for? All because you sit there and they ain't got no money. So they ain't important to me. If they leave, we won't lose anything. That's exactly why they'll kick the poor out, because they figure, well, the poor, they ain't losing nothing. Excuse me, you are losing something, buddy. A lot of rewards when you get to heaven, when Jesus stands there looking at your oozing hands, dripping with blood, where blood is just pouring off of you in floods, because of the people you let go to hell, all because you wanted money more than you wanted to get the gospel out. I thank God over here that one thing, at least right here, Ruthie, we care enough about souls that we don't care that it cost us, and we're the ones giving out the tapes. At least somebody might get saved. They may not get saved in front of our face, but tell you what, they will get saved. I'd rather pay the price and see someone get saved than have all the money in the world. Because no one's going to get saved with that gospel. That church membership thing just ain't going to cut it, because when poor people go there, they know they ain't going to be treated right. So they don't go, and they don't get saved. And those churches are going to stand before God with that. And the Bible says they sin. They sin. You sin. You don't fulfill the royal law when you sin. Amen. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. We'll let Danny have this one. He's been getting a little bit of a break here. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30, Danny. Ephesians 5, 29, 30. When you got it, Danny, go ahead.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Where should we have our membership?
With Christ.
With Christ! Not a building. Not a group. Get rid of your dead, burned clubhouse and your little business meeting and get Jesus. Amen. Get rid of your memberships. The only membership you should be stressing is get your membership in Jesus. Hello? There are some people that get these tapes. I know that even if they are saved, they may know someone who isn't. Hello? Pass this tape on. Pass it on. And when the people that get it passed on to them, I want you to hear this, and I want you to listen good. The only membership you need is in Jesus' body. And you get that through Jesus' blood, who paid the price 100% full and free. You don't have to do nothing. He already paid the price. All you got to do is accept Him as your Savior. That's the only membership you need. You could have all the church memberships in the world and still go to hell. I don't want to see you go to hell. That's why we preach. That's why we open up the Word of God and study it. The Bible doesn't teach church membership. It teaches Christ membership. Being a member of His body, which is a group of people who have been blood-bought, born again. Amen. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. We're going to let Ruthie read this, and then we're going to crack on something here. Here we go.
Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Have you ever noticed that churches do exactly that? The minute somebody leaves the church, they could have been there for 40 years, Ruth. 40 long years giving their service. And the minute that that person decides that they need to go to another church that is going to feed them, the church they were going to for 40 years that believed that person to be saved, all of a sudden they're lost. And this is the set of verses they use to teach that doctrine. Excuse me. Read the verses carefully. It talks about antichrists. These are people who were claiming Christianity, but later actually deny the Christ they talked about. These are the people who said they were saved, but later ended up going to the bar room. This does not talk about somebody who goes from the First Baptist Church to the Bible Baptist Church.
Yes. Talks about people like Jim Jones.
That's exactly what we're talking about, Danny. We're talking about people that they may have been going to your church, the First Baptist Church, but then they end up at the Mormons. Or they're Baptists and go to JW. They claim Christ as their Savior. They claim that Christ is God, but then all of a sudden they become Antichrist. They go against Christ and say Jesus is not God. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about church membership. This does not preach church membership. And you notice another key word? Look at the words. It says that they were with our church, our group of believers, says it was, they were in our local church, they left our local church, so they're not of our local church, because they left our local church, because if they had really been saved, they would have stayed at this local church. Is that what that said, Danny?
That's not what that said.
No, it said, us. Who's the us? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. It's not talking about a local church. Read it and weep. It is not talking about a body of believers in a certain geographical location. It's talking about the complete body of Christ.
Jeff Mann.
Go read this and weep. Cults. This does not teach that. Your church membership gospel don't stand under Scripture. It just don't. It never has and never will. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say get yourself a membership in a local body. In a local church. It doesn't say that. It says that you should go and have fellowship. Over and over, that's what it's talking about. Over and over, it does talk about having fellowship and that you should be closer together and have fellowship and talk to fellow believers and encourage each other. You can't encourage each other if you're not near each other. But, hello, it doesn't talk about membership. It just talks about encouraging. Hello? Okay? It talks about encouraging and exhorting each other, but you can't do that without fellowship, but it doesn't say you need membership. There's a big difference. All right? All right. Very familiar passage. Very familiar. John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Danny, I want you to tell me if I got this right. Because this is the way they're teaching it in the churches. I want to see if I want you to get your King James out. And I want you to get your get an NWT out, Ruth. I want you to get the clear word out for this part. I want to see if this is what this says. John 14:6. You're going to be the clear word, Danny. You're going to have the NWT, but I also want you to have the KJV, Danny.
Okay.
And I want to see if this is what the what any of these, even the cults, see if the cults teach this. Because here's one for you. The Bible of most people says, and the pastor saith unto them, church membership is the way, the truth, and your life. No man will get to heaven except you have your church membership.
No.
Huh? Doesn't say that, does it?
You want to win the NWT?
Yeah, first let's start with the NWT. We'll go to the clear word, and then we'll have Danny come back to the KJV.
Okay, well, we'll start with the NWT, and I'll do the NWT.
That's what I just told you, so go ahead.
Okay, wait till I get there. To John 14:6?
That's right. Because now think about it. We call JWs cults. We said their Bible is not true. Well, let's see if it says anything about church membership here.
They teach another Jesus. We know that.
That's right. We know they teach another Jesus. Well, let's see if their other Jesus says that you have to have church membership. And if that's the way you get in. Go ahead.
They teach that with their mouth, but we'll see what's written. Okay. 14:6. Okay. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Hello? Only way you get to heaven is through Jesus. That's in the JW Bible. Okay? The only way to get there is through Jesus. Now let's see what the dirty, unflushed privy says, okay? Okay, let's see.
Jesus said, I am the way you get to the Father. I am the truth about what he's like. No one can come to the Father on his own. He has to come through me. The Father's life is in me.
Did to put a lot of added words, but the meaning is still there. The meaning is still there. In both cult versions, it says, you get to heaven through Jesus. Now, what does the King James say? Let's see if that Bible has got it. Okay, Danny, let's see if the King James tells us that church membership is the way we get in.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Even in two cult versions. Not to mention the King James, all three agree that it's Jesus. Why is it that we think that the only way to get into heaven is church membership? Now here's another good one.
4:12, right?
Okay. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Now have your cult versions ready, guys. Okay? First we're going to have Danny read the NWT. Ruthie, you're going to read the unflushed privy, then I'll let you read the King James. Now you notice, it says that there's only one name that gets you into heaven, and it's the name that's out on our church sign. Okay? That's how you get in, is the name that gets you in is the one on the church sign. Danny, let's see what it says,
Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12, he said.
Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It tells us that the way into heaven is the name on our church sign. That's the name that gets you in, right?
Oh, we shall see.
Let's see if it says the church sign there.
Okay. Furthermore, there is no salvation in anyone else. There is not another name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must get saved.
Hello? Says there's only one name. Okay, Ruthie, the unflushed privy.
Says, salvation comes only through him. There is no one else in the whole world who could save us. Well, they added a little extra word.
So far, two versions there say Jesus is the only name. Okay, what does the King James say here?
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I like King James of that.
Only one name. Okay, guys, would you mind telling me what church name that was?
That wasn't a church name.
What church membership did we got to get in there? What name did it give us for the church membership we need?
Jesus.
It's not a church name, it's a person. And it's a personal relationship with the one and only one who can get you in. What am I trying to say tonight? Preachers, this church membership thing is nothing more than a false gospel that is a cover-up of works salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So no matter how many church memberships you got, boys, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. Says Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness. That's your church membership too, boys. That fits there. Which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. Your church membership just won't cut the mustard. It just won't do it. It won't do it, won't do it, won't do it, won't do it. You might as well get over it and get glad again. Church membership just ain't going to do the job. The only way you're getting into heaven is you have to have Christ as your Savior. Anything shy of Jesus Christ is another gospel. Anything shy of the blood of Christ is another gospel. And when you have church membership telling people you treat them good while they're a member, but when they go to leave the church for whatever reason, even it could be a legitimate reason, and you start treating them like they got lost, excuse me, what you're really teaching is another gospel. There's no way to sugarcoat that for you. There's no way to make that more palatable to your taste. There's no way to make that more luxurious for your taste. Excuse me, the gospel is the gospel, and the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. It doesn't say nothing in there about church membership. It says that the gospel is only one gospel. And it's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for your and my sins. And that's the only way you get into heaven. And Paul said in Galatians, if anyone preaches any other gospel than the gospel of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for sins, he says, let him go to hell. So preachers, you want to go, just go on your merry way, but don't be trying to drag people with you. The fact is, it's another gospel, and it's not true. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask you now, Lord, as this message goes out, for those who will hear it, Lord, we're not against them. We're not against people going to church and having fellowship. We're not against people going and having fellowship with fellow believers. We're not telling people they should never go. Lord, that's not what we're saying. That's a far cry from what we're saying. We are saying, Lord, that that when people make going to the church house, what people call the church house, when they go to the building where people gather, when they make it such a requirement that it's necessary for salvation, Lord, that's when somebody's got to draw the line. Lord, that's when you drew the line years ago and you're still drawing it now. You said the body of Christ should not be divided over such a stupid issue, because we're not following after the First Baptist Church, the Second Baptist Church, the First Buick Church, or the First Brick Church. Lord, we should be following after you. That's the only thing that saves. That's the only membership we need is in your body. Anything short of that is going to send us to hell. So, Lord, we ask you tonight to help us see that it's not where we go, but who we're going to. It's not where, what church building we're going to, what house of worship we're going to. It's rather the Savior who does the saving. So, Lord, help us to see that tonight. As we give this invitation, Lord, let someone come forth and say they yield to you, not to a church membership at Truth Freedom Fellowship Baptist Church, because there is none. But Lord, we're asking them to yield to the membership of the Holy Spirit, who will let them into the membership of heaven. And the only thing that was required is for them to say, I yield, because you already paid the price. There is no cost for this membership because you paid the price. So Lord, we ask you tonight to help them to see that that's what this altar is for, is getting saved and getting right. In the name of Jesus, amen.